AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media
app. I'm Alexis Christophorus. Interest rates unchanged. The Federal Reserve Board deciding not to raise rates right now, but leaving the door open to future hikes. ABC's Andy Field.
The Fed has raised interest rates 11 times since March of 2022, but not this time. Federal Reserve keeping its cost of money to banks between 5.25% and 5.5%. Today's interest rate pause is meant to see whether inflation will keep coming down without another rate hike, with the Fed signaling there could be higher rates if it doesn't.
On Capitol Hill, Attorney General Merrick Garland pushed back on allegations by House Republicans the Justice Department has a two-tiered system, saying the Justice Department applies the law equally. In California, the suspect in the shooting death of an L.A. County sheriff's deputy made his first court appearance. Kevin Salazar is charged with murder with special circumstances. He entered a plea of not guilty and a dual plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. This is ABC News. A lunchtime favorite is the subject of a major recall. Here's ABC's Brian Clark.
Kraft Heinz says there was a problem with a machine that wraps each slice of its Kraft Singles American cheese, and that problem means that it's possible a thin strip of film from the wrapper could remain on the cheese, creating a possible choking risk. Nobody's been hurt and the machine's been fixed, but Kraft Heinz is recalling more than 83,000 cases of its cheese. Company's website has more information on the recall, but says individual packages affected will contain the letter S and the number 72 in their manufacturing code. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety rated 4 popular vehicles less than acceptable in new crash tests. The Chrysler Pacifica, Kia Carnival, and Toyota Sienna all rated no better than marginal in terms of rear passenger safety. The Honda Odyssey got a poor rating. Alexis Christophorus, ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa County Sheriff's job may be in jeopardy following a 4-hour closed session this week. The meeting reportedly involved concerns raised by a county employee regarding Sheriff Travis Hakes and the workplace. A motion filed by the county board notes an October 10th meeting could involve authorizing charges and the statutory removal of the sheriff. Sheriff Hakes released a statement accusing the board of disregarding due process. Hakes vows to fight to keep his job. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released a detailed plan to deal with PFAS contamination in the state, using over $100 million in funding to address the issues. The DNR has announced that PFAS contamination has been found in over 1,000 public water supplies across the state. The Wisconsin legislature is working on bills to determine how the Department of Natural Resources should apply the state and federal funding to deal with the PFAS contamination across the state. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Kripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Kripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Amas.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you today, Matt and Brett here. Hi, Brett.
Hello there.
We got Stein returns. Apparently, he decided to, you know, shake off his, you know, Iowa corn-fed pork and, you know, feast and join us today. So we'll be talking with him. I got a few things I got to get to with him. And particularly, I got some interesting news. Once again, that, remember we talked about after Roe v. Wade, that definitive 10 to 15 point swing? It's not gone away, man.
Oh, I saw those polls. Those results last night.
In New Hampshire. The one in New Hampshire has got it. You know, they don't have a solution. They don't have an answer for this. We'll talk to him about that. We'll get to that later. When was the last time you took a flight?
A flight? Yeah. Was it February? Yeah, February.
Where'd you go?
Palm Springs.
Oh, so did you fly into Palm Springs or near?
Yeah. Delta actually does do direct flights there, so that was convenient.
I bet that was pricey.
Better than Sun. I've done Sun Country before to Palm Springs. I usually go there every year to visit my parents who live down there in the winter. And yeah, Sun Country, it's sometimes you're on time, other times you're about 6 hours late. It runs the gauntlet. So yeah, I'll pay a little extra.
Sun Country, I've actually had good success with them. I actually like Sun Country. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be taking a Sun Country flight before too long. So Palm Springs Airport, how big is it?
Not big at all, no.
It's like one gate sort of thing, you know, because you know how many.
There's more than one gate. There's like, I think, like 10, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean a gate. I mean, do you know how Minneapolis St. Paul has, like, you know, C and E and D?
Yeah.
And that is it. C is the one that's god awful when you have to hike all the way back out to Highway 5. Basically from the airport, which is not a quick hike. You know, if you have to, if God forbid you're at the end of that one. So, but they only have, so they have like one terminal, one main terminal.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much one terminal. Yes, correct.
South in Charleston, they've got two. Jacksonville's got two. We've got four. Worst airport you've ever been in? What's the worst one?
I've never been a big fan of LAX.
LAX is a little tough.
Yeah.
It's no Denver, though. Denver is a pit. I don't know who, they're supposed to have this super duper airport. It's an absolute freaking mess out there. Kansas City is also bad. Remember, we had Trace Beaulieu on from MST3K, and he and I were talking about bad airports, and he said Kansas City is a rough one. So they just released the list of airports. We are no longer number one as far as best airports.
Oh, we were number one for a while?
We were number one last year.
Wow, okay.
Have you been to MSP? Is not bad. They need better breakfast food options, because don't just take a pizza crust from the pizza place that was just serving pizza 6 hours before, throw some, you know, rehydrated eggs and sausage bits in there and fold it over and say, breakfast. You know, it's Luigi's breakfast calzone. No, that doesn't work, dude.
That's efficient, though.
It is. It's chewy. It's just not good. I've had that now. I don't know why I got it the second time. Maybe because it was the only thing. I don't want to go and sit down in an airport version of an Applebee's, man. I don't want to do that. No, I don't have that much time. I'd rather just get out to the gate, kind of get into my own zone, get ready for the flight, and off I go. So I'm looking for something that's kind of grab and go sort of thing. But the pizza breakfast thing, that is a lot of dough. That is a lot of dough. But outside of that, MSP is actually a pretty good airport. I've not really had too much problems there. And the thing that's nice is with Sun Country, I will say this, having the second terminal is nice, because if it was all in the one in the main Lindbergh, as opposed to the Humphrey, if they're all in the Lindbergh terminal, then you know that Sun Country would be out at the end of C. Wait, what? Get ready. Keep your hiking shoes on, because it's going to take you a while to get out there. They do have that little train thing that runs down that way.
Yeah, that kind of helps.
Yeah, a little bit. Or if, you know, hey, if you're going to have the moving sidewalks, which are great, turn the damn things on. How about that? How many times have I seen that? It's like they're not on. It's like, what are you doing? If you've got flights out there, turn all the suckers on, man. Denver is horrible. I talked about this last year. My wife and I, 25th wedding anniversary, we went down to Colorado and went to Rocky Mountain National up at Estes Park, and we had a good time up there. It's shocking how the fact that the grocery store in Estes Park, both Patrick and I have been there, and that is weird. But it was, you know, we gave our grocery store review for the Estes Park community. Denver Airport was four. They're doing construction on some of the terminals out there, right? So just don't put any flights in the terminals. I mean, you got for God's sakes, you've got one of the biggest airports in the country. You've got plenty of gates you're not using. Just shift them to the empty gates. Nope. They jammed. They basically had taken away the seating area for almost all of them. There was basically like 30 seats for four gates, all with flights leaving at basically the same time. I was like, who is the brain trust that came up with this idea? Just nuts. And yeah, just a lot of walking and not a really nice aesthetic. You know, the Denver airport, not good. Not a big fan. But Minneapolis, St. Paul is nice. Detroit, by the way, is the number one airport. Detroit? Okay. I've been to Detroit Airport, but that was when I was a kid. I'm guessing it's been upgraded since. Yeah. I could guess the food options back when I was there, if I remember correctly, were like a cafeteria, where there was no like brand names. It wasn't like Pizza Hut or anything was in there. It was all just a cafeteria. Here, look, it's a ham salad sandwich. Boy, it's a pickle on a plate. I'll take one of those. Sure, why not? I like a good pickle. Who wants banana cream pie from a rotating machine?
Heat lamps always help.
Oh, God, they do. Oh, that's just nothing better than 3 hours under a heat lamp. It's great for your skin and for that chicken wrap that you were
going to. Crunchiness to it as well, which God. Isn't bad. Yeah.
No, dried out. So one of those things where you bite into it and immediately every bit of moisture in your mouth is gone. It's like, and that's the chicken you just eat. The bread, forget about it. You've got to abandon that plan. You just got to open that sucker up and just hope that some of the lettuce, that's warm lettuce, because yum. That the warm lettuce somehow has some moisture still attached. Probably not. It is funny watching, you know, thinking about how airports are now, and then going back. I did watch the airport movie franchise. So the airport, the first one, which was Dean Martin at MSP with our good friend Nancy Nelson in there. As it was a bunny.
Oh, I mean, I forgot Nancy was in that.
Nancy's in that. She's fantastic. Yeah. I love her. I love you, Nance. The second one was Chuck Heston. That was the plane hit the plane and all the people got sucked out of the plane. And that was, bad. And, you know, really inappropriate for the time. I mean, the Eric Estrada character. Yeah, okay. Anyway, and then there was the third one, which was Jack Lemmon. I forget it was Jack Lemmon in this one. He was the pilot. That was the plane that landed in the water and sank.
Oh, really? Okay.
There was like, and there's the fourth one with George Kennedy and the Concorde. No. Didn't watch. Not going to watch. But give Jack Lemmon some credit. Actually, he made that one, the third one, actually somewhat watchable. You've seen those movies?
It seems like they made a few too many. I didn't know there was more than two. The first one is obviously great, but maybe should have stopped on one.
Well, the first one's very different than the other ones. The first one is kind of more of just kind of the business structure of an airport. It's like watching like an employee introduction video only with big celebrities in it. And what do you do when there's a bomb on the plane? That sort of thing. And by the way, that was the one thing I didn't buy. Was the couple. The guy's going to blow up the plane, right, in the first one. He's got his bomb. And apparently somewhere in Minneapolis was squalor a la 1890s London that apparently these people existed in, because they were only eating, like, scraps of crust from bread. I'm like, okay, when was this in Minneapolis? This is the 60s. Hennepin Avenue was a little risque back then. Who didn't like the Skyway Theater naked? But it wasn't nearly that bad. It wasn't some sort of Kensington street urchin world. That's the thing, sort of how they portrayed it. Oh, God, the Chuck Heston one is bad, man. And then, of course, they became this vehicle for all these crap actors, and either has-beens or up-and-coming, to basically go in there and just get one paycheck. And just, it was not good. Who played Saruman in Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Well, you don't. Christopher, not Christopher Plummer. Yeah, do me a favor. Look that up. Saruman and, in Lord of the Rings. Played Dracula in all those movies in the 70s, too. Just a great actor. He shows up in the third one with Jack Lemmon, which was actually kind of enjoyable there. But, yeah, there wasn't a lot else good in that movie. Although, the bad guy from Blood Simple, who is also the police chief in Blade Runner, he shows up in that one as a vet who's the doctor on call, and that's actually he's kind of entertaining to watch because he's a good hat there. Saruman is Christopher Lee. It's Christopher Lee. That's who it is.
I was going to throw in Christopher Walken. No, I don't think it was.
Hello.
Would have been a different.
Sauron wants to know if you are willing to surrender. It would be a very different Lord of the Rings with Christopher Walken as Saruman.
I take that.
Let me tell you where I kept that glowing marble. It's not, I'm not proud about it. I'm not proud about it at all, but I got it back here. That would be a much better version of Lord of the Rings. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I don't, yeah, you have to go watch Pulp Fiction and then go watch Christopher Walken's speech in Pulp Fiction. And there you'll figure out where I was going with that. And no, I'm not very proud of myself at this point. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So I wanted to, there's a story I posted this morning out of Bring Me the News about the Hennepin County attorney making some of the state patrol employees refuse to cooperate in the Ricky Cobb case. Now, Ricky Cobb is the individual who was out on I-94 and was killed by state patrol. That they basically, as they were trying to, he was asking why they wanted to get out of the car. They wouldn't tell him. They were trying to drag him out of the car. He starts to drive away and they put three rounds into him, his belly, and then had the audacity to say, "Stay with me, buddy," as he was dying on the streets. The Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty says some Minnesota State Patrol employees have refused to cooperate. Boy, the irony of that, isn't it? Ricky Cobb refused to cooperate, and he got three bullets in the gut. Because what does the law enforcement people say? You should always cooperate with authority. And that's my point. It's a bit of a hypocrisy here. But it also is this idea that we are, that somehow, some way, you can be, one of these absolute, the right in this country and the police say we're absolute. You can't question us. You can't do anything. We are law and order. You have to trust our judgment. This is the entire thing with the SROs. People are asking the question, say, wait a second here. Why do you need to put a 13-year-old in a chokehold if they've not done anything to threaten anyone else? And they just sort of say, well, we just need to in case we need to. And what they're really saying is this, is, yeah, it does happen because there are bad cops, and bad cops sometimes do bad things. And so the next time when someone actually has their camera out and on TikTok, there's a video of a cop in Minnesota choking out a 13-year-old who basically, the cop basically just didn't like the fact that they didn't like the shirt the kid was wearing. They want to have no accountability. Don't get me wrong. They'll get their stern wagon fingers out. They'll talk about how we're going to have remedial training. We're going to have remedial training on this officer. He clearly needs some remedial training. But they're not going to, they don't want to have the ability to say, no, you shouldn't be able to do that. You just should not be able to choke out a kid for reasons. And that's what the police want. And their argument is, how dare you try to put regulations on us? We are just, absolute. We are law and order. We're this. How dare you question this? Which is a laughingstock. Because the reality is that, no, you should have the question of that the police themselves should be listening to what the public wants. And if the public put the Democrats in charge and the Democrats say, yeah, I don't think you should just randomly be able to choke out a 12-year-old. Well, I think that there should be something there. Instead, because Republicans are desperate to get some sort of campaign element to talk about, the police, who are pretty much pro-Republican because the Republicans have said, hey, we'll let you get away with anything as long as you basically keep endorsing us, they're basically throwing this big fit about how dare you try to stop the police from choking out a 12-year-old. That 12-year-old deserved it. By the way, nothing I find is more... is less honest and less sincere than the officer after the fact, after they have clearly violated their rules of their job. Terrified, terrorized, victimized some young child, look at him and say, hey, I think we both learned a lesson here, and that you need to understand that I got to make sure of choices. And I just want to make sure you understand, you sign off on the fact that I just choked you. No. No. Here you have a case where the police are absolute, that you got to trust us, we're pro-law and order. And here it is, there's an investigation into a shooting that left a man dead. And the reason why they shot and killed Ricky Cobb is because they said he refused to cooperate. And now that there's just being basically an inquiry into the actions of that state patrol officer, now what's happening? They're refusing to cooperate. Oh, but their refusal to cooperate, that's noble, whereas his was a death sentence. Shut up. No, this whole thing exposes the fraudulent argument that the police are absolute and above any repose. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Whether you rent or own a home, we all likely have nightmare stories about home maintenance, or what I like to call home cringe moments. Join me, your host, Katie Shahan, for the Yarlow Home Cringe Show. See what home cringe-worthy stories we have for you each week as we talk with local home service pros. Learn best practices for winterizing your home or what to look for after a hailstorm. Listen to the Yarlow Home Cringe Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. or on your favorite podcast app.
If Christopher Walken played Saruman, he would say Rohan. Rohan. We are marching our forces of the Uruk-hai to Rohan.
That would get me to go back and watch Lord of the Rings again.
Oh, God. Someone has to do this. Someone has to insert Christopher Walken into Lord of the Rings. Because that would... Wormwood, I need you to go do something for me. Oh, gosh. But he flew around that Fat Boy Slim video. I mean, he could do that. He's got wizard potential. 952-946-6205. Anyway, getting back to the story about the police refusing to cooperate, which once again, in the case of Ricky Cobb, got him three bullets to the gut. On Tuesday, the attorney's office announced it had received the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension's investigation findings into the fatal July shooting. Moriarty said she had met with Cobb's family to update them and to recommit a fair decision-making process. Moriarty's office will now decide whether, based on the evidence from the BCA investigation, any charges will be brought against the troopers involved. Side note, I don't think there will be, because once again, the state law is basically written that all the officer has to do is say, "I was scared! I was scared!" And they basically can do whatever they want. In her statement, Moriarty said BCA agents informed her office that the employees refusing to cooperate are not the subject to the investigation itself, though. These are individuals who are not the subject to the investigation but may have relevant information. We're disappointed by this lack of cooperation, as the family and the community and the troopers involved in this incident all deserve answers. Which is, once again, refusing to cooperate is exactly the reason why Ricky Cobb got shot three times. Now I know you're going to say, "Well, but I mean, when I refused to cooperate, it's basically I wasn't trying to drive with a car." Fine. And like I said, I highly doubt there's going to be charges filed, just because it would be a very thin line to dance on if you were going to try to do this, because the way that the Republicans have written state laws when it regards to police accountability. But I want to make sure we understand that this is just the absolute exposure, that the idea that the police are absolute, that they are pure law and order, is just an absolute freaking lie. 2 weeks ago or so, we had the story out of, was it Murray County, where it sounds like what the Murray County sheriff did was basically sabotage an investigation into his buddy for drinking and driving. So why did he do this? Not because his buddy wasn't guilty of drinking and driving, but because he decided what the law was, which means he's not law and order. He's just there for himself to protect him and his buddies. When the police went out hunting Jaleel Stallings in Minneapolis, and the hunting the people of Minneapolis, they basically they weren't following the law at all. They were going on a hunting expedition, and still to this day lied their ass off until the second all of a sudden the body cam video was getting released. And then all of a sudden, the same police officers who said, "We're law and order, why would you ever question what we did?" all of a sudden were out there saying, "You know, passions are going to be high when you watch these videos. We just want people to settle down." Oh, it's our responsibility now to accept your lack of following your own mantra and standards. This isn't employees of the Minnesota State Patrol saying, "You know what? I disagree. I don't think he did anything wrong, but sure, I'll testify because I believe in law and order." That's not this. This is employees of the Minnesota State Patrol saying, "I have determined that he has done nothing wrong, so I'm not even going to cooperate with the investigation." That's not law and order. That is CYA, cover your ass. That's all that is. They have made the decision that the truth does not matter. And I'm not saying, I don't think this officer is going to get prosecuted. The state patrol officer is going to get prosecuted, because the state law basically states, "I was scared," is a viable offense to blowing someone away on the highway. It is. Thanks to the Republican Party. But at the same time, these employees have determined that law and order doesn't matter when it comes to their own. That they are somehow above law and order. They don't need to have accountability. They don't need to have consequences for their action. They have determined that we are the judge. We are the jury. We are basically have acquitted this guy, and so we're not going to help you. Not because they're pro-law and order, but because protecting their little club is more important than actual law and order. This is why it's a joke. These guys aren't law and order. They're only law and order when it's convenient for their narrative. But when it's Jaleel Stallings, it's, hey, you know, people are going to watch these tapes and they're going to be some passion. You're already blaming people for being upset by your actions. You're not law and order. You're not law and order when it's that county sheriff basically letting his buddy go because, heaven forbid, his buddy get, you know, held accountable for drinking and driving. And once again, I don't know what these people know, but clearly Moriarty feels that they know information that they're not sharing. And the reality is if they're not involved in this, there's no fifth, you know, they can't plead the fifth because there's no self-incrimination. It's just they have decided that they're going to not help, that they're going to basically try everything in their power by not speaking to prevent law and order from actually being achieved. And once again, law and order doesn't mean this officer is going to be held accountable in a court of law. It could mean that he basically, they determine, well, we can't charge him with a crime. But you see, it's irrelevant because you have made a choice. Moriarty comes on out. Say you did your job. You did talk to Moriarty and the BCA. And Moriarty comes on out. Well, basically, then there's no argument. But now if Moriarty comes on out and says it's there, it's easy to say, well, that's because the cops circled the wagons and prevented anyone from being able to find out what was going on inside that agency. So just give it up. You're not law and order. You're only law and order when it's convenient. And when it comes to you and your own in your own little club within the law enforcement agency, you're anything but law and order. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, I have a Justice Department briefing on the Minneapolis Police Department, which is really a hoot if you want to see what I'm talking about. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein, when we do come back, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I wasn't even going to try. You
wouldn't even give the time. Don't be so easy. Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hey, it's Tom. Fossil fuels continue to have negative impacts on our environment. Luckily, there are more ways now than ever to use renewable energy in your home or business. All Energy Solar offers smart energy solutions like custom solar paneling, electric vehicle chargers, and energy storage. Solar panel systems can last for decades, meaning you can help the environment and cut back on electric bills for years to come. There are incentives and rebates available to most people who install solar energy, too. Last year, the federal solar tax credit increased to a 30% tax credit. This incentive can be used in combination with other incentives from your utility, county, or city. But don't delay or miss out, as many of these incentives are limited to only a certain number of people. So have a professional from All Energy Solar help you discover how solar can power up your property while saving on your energy costs. Call 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have wood stoves that qualify for the new 30% income tax credit, a great opportunity to get an efficient stove and heat with renewable energy.
Right now, avoid supply chain delays, avoid the fall rush, avoid bad weather installation, and save money because we are now discounting the price on all chimney parts you need for installation for any of Woodland's new stoves and fireplaces.
We can help you with the stove and the chimney planning. Want to do it yourself? We will help you determine all the parts needed with our installation know-how. We have been installing wood stoves and fireplaces for over 45 years.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Save money. Take advantage of the spring and summer chimney discounts when you buy any fireplace product right now at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 83, tonight clear with a low around 60, and Thursday sunny with a high around 80. If you're craving barbecue, then don't drive too fast or you'll miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis. Scott Jamama's offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Find their menu and more at scottjamamas.com.
And presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books as well as TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report. Come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, and he takes out an appetizer tray like Lauren Boebert at a Beetlejuice show. Hi, Jeff. How are you, my friend?
Did you see the quote from Senator Fetterman?
What was that?
There was something about, because he was getting static for what he wore.
Yes.
And he said, I guess I need to go to musical theater, grab the hog, and then I'll be a folk hero. And I thought, okay.
You do not want to get into a insult war. An insult war with Fetterman. I mean, that dude, you can already tell, has about 100 ready to go in the back of that noggin of his. So you do not want to go down there.
It was just the phrase, grab the hog. And I thought, oh, all right then. Well, you want a dress code now, buddy? Look out.
As I said, that's a stand-up double. He was looking for third, as a matter of fact. There you go. Sorry, man.
No, you're not.
No, I'm
not.
I'm not sorry. I like my show. Hey, okay. So let's start off with something you probably weren't expecting. We're going to go to New Hampshire.
Okay.
You and I have talked about, ever since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that the Republicans have been in trouble. Outside of very few, I think only one or two cases, every race seems to have shifted 10 to 15 points.
Right.
Republicans, basically the reason why their red tsunami basically was a dripping faucet last year was basically the abortion issue torpedoed them. And they have still not figured this out, because in New Hampshire, Democrat Hal Rafter won a closely divided seat on Tuesday night. This is a district that Trump won. He won that seat by 12, which once again falls in these margins. This differential is not going away. That the Republicans still have a very major problem. By the way, there's a special election in Pennsylvania, but that was a Pittsburgh seat, and it's supposed to have gone to the Democrat. The situation in New Hampshire is interesting. The legislature in New Hampshire is huge, but the Republicans have a one-seat majority now after this special election, and there's another special election coming where basically the Democrats are expected to pick that seat up. And so in New Hampshire, this is actually likely going to cost them the House. This is a big problem for the Republicans, and their whole goal of trying to turn the evangelicals against the LGBTQIA+ community, that's not resonated, and they are still, when it comes to an issue, their entire campaigns are getting knocked down by abortion.
Did you hear the hue and cry from those on the right when Donald Trump went on Meet the Press this past Sunday and said, well, I need to sit down with both sides, and we can't have a total abortion ban, and there shouldn't be this, and there shouldn't be that. And he was just excoriated by those on the right as, well, you're not really pro-life. He was being pragmatic from a political standpoint. If anything we know about Trump, it's that he is pragmatic from a political standpoint. And I don't think he's wrong about what he said, and you just made his point. But the party isn't listening, are they? They are not listening all the way to electoral defeat. But again, Matt McNeil can say it. Matt McNeil is right. Those words were hard to say, but
I know
Matt McNeil is right.
I'm with you on that.
it's just so uncomfortable.
All right.
So you're right about the issue. But then when Trump says the very same thing, in essence, you were pointing out, folks, you're going to have your something, your hog handed to you. They won't listen. They go further to the right. And, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out. I have had a hard time with the whole abortion issue. And you and I've talked about this, because it's either a moral issue or it's a political issue. And politicians try to take a moral issue, make it a political issue, and they're disingenuous from the start. Because if you're going to tell me every life is sacred, then there should be no exceptions. Oh, well, we have to have exceptions. Okay, then stop taking such a strong moral view. I mean, all of this is just gamesmanship. But to your point, Trump's the only one on the Republican side who has figured it out, well, and he's getting drilled for it.
There are some other ones. Some of the old school moderates who still, I guess you could call them moderates, who basically say we have to get away from the abortion issue. But here's that problem. And we're going to see it in Minneapolis, in Minnesota here next year when the Minnesota House is up. You're going to have a whole bunch of metro area Republicans running and screaming, I'm really a moderate. I'm going to support women's rights. But the reality is, and get your thoughts on this, unless a state party actually changes its platform to basically say, we don't encourage abortion, but we're tolerant of a woman's right to choose up to, say, maybe 10, 12 weeks, whatever the case may be. If they don't change their official state platform, the buzzsaw they're running into is that far right that you talk about, who basically the moderates in the Republican Party can't seem to get away from and always go back to endorsing. And I think unless it's in a state party platform, which is not going to happen soon, I don't think anyone's trusting the Republicans.
Well, and here's why you shouldn't trust them. Because for 49 years, you heard this is a state's rights issue. This should not be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. So then the U.S. Supreme Court overturns a ruling. And then you get all these people on the right saying, now we need a national abortion ban. Wait, you just spent pushing three generations saying it was a state issue, and now all of a sudden you want to make it a federal issue? The very thing that you didn't want your opponents doing? It's laughable in terms of the disingenuousness of it on the part of some of these people. It's either a state's issue or it's not a state's issue. But you can't all of a sudden say, well, now that we've, quote, won, we want it to be a federal. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And that's why you can't trust people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also this issue specifically woke up Generation Z. And they have had really good turnout numbers. We looked in Wisconsin and that Supreme Court race that was, you know, the numbers there were out off the charts when it came to young voters. This is something, as their voting base gets older and unfortunately is passing away, there is this brand new voting base that they're trying to bring up, that they're trying to win over, but they can't do it because, frankly, it's an issue which is so toxic for them. But unless they figure out some way, is there some way that they could present this outside of what I just said, where you actually go on and have a state party change? I just don't think anyone's trusting them because for years, as you said, for decades, they've said, we're going to get rid of it. And now that it's gone, now the same people the next day were like, what do you mean we're going to get rid of it? We never said that.
Well, and the problem is, and I don't mean to make light, this is such a serious emotional, personal issue. But, you know, they're acting like the dog who chases a car and then catches the car. It's like, well, damn, what do I do with this? I don't have opposable thumbs. I can't drive.
Yes.
Okay, they finally caught the car with no idea of what to do. They've been fundraising on it. They've been preening and posturing about it. And they had no idea of what to do when it finally happened. And by the way, it's not like that decision came out of left field. I mean, you expected that decision when you saw the makeup of the court, did you not?
Yeah.
I mean, at least in some part. So you can't be there on the right and say, whoa, well, that was a gift. No, everybody saw it. So the fact that they're ill-prepared to move forward is shame on them, essence.
And they stacked the court specifically to get that ruling. I mean, that was kind of the case. Have you seen any of the ads that are coming out right now? I mean, in Kentucky, that state race down there, there's a very powerful ad with a young woman who was raped by her stepfather at 12. And and she's basically saying that Republican governor was going to tell me that the Republican governor candidate wants to tell me I don't have any options there. How cruel is that? And then there's a national ad where it's a dad trying to get his daughter taken care of. And this Republican politician shows up and says, I won the election. I get to decide what's best for your daughter, not you. And I'm going to keep an eye on her to prevent her from doing anything I've deemed to be illegal. Those are both very powerful messages. And once again, unless the Republicans go out there and actually start changing state platforms, I don't see how they're getting away from this.
Well, as far as state platforms, we pay attention to it. You do, I do, this audience does. But how many times, I mean, let's say you're a Republican and you're not able to, you want to run away from the state platform. You can say, well, you know, practically, we just can't get enough support. Those Democrats get in the way. I mean, it's disingenuous, all right, but that's what you're going to wind up hearing. The thing that gets me is, and again, I'm going for hypocrisy and disingenuousness here, so, you know, let's not everybody show us your shocked faces at once, but the very same people who say that it should be the parent who determines what happens to their child when it has to do with gender assignment are the ones who say, well, no, you don't know when it has to do with this other issue. Okay, it's either a state's issue or it's not. It's either that parents rule or they don't. And I'm finding it, you know, they're just running into themselves in terms of inconsistencies.
Merrick Garland went up to Capitol Hill to go face off with the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, this sounds like the start of a very bad joke.
Oh, well, it is actually a joke. I mean,
Garland went up to Capitol Hill.
you've seen a six-year-old with too much candy in them, right?
No, that's why I do not have children. But I understand from you the results. Okay.
You get them, they're hyper. They can't stop talking. They can't stop screaming and yelling. I can't tell you how it was. I don't know if the Republicans thought they were going to get aha moments, but I was watching some of this testimony, and I can't even figure out how Fox News is going to just take clips from this to try to make Merrick Garland look bad, because the reality is that these Republicans, like a child with too much candy in them, well, why don't you answer this? I cede my time. And you're like, there was no thought process of how do you set up Garland to possibly have a good attack. It was just everything coming out at once. I'm not going to let him speak. I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions, and I don't care about the answers. I'm just going to run through them, and I cede the rest of my time. And it was over and over and over again. The Republicans just look like, I mean, like I said, if this is, I think they're just, they so want to make their narrative true, they don't realize if you want to try to even make that happen, you can't just go on out there and do a howler monkey exhibit.
Well, just because you say it doesn't make it true, and I don't care who it is and what the topic is, just because you say it doesn't make it true. But what was the point of bringing him forward today?
They're trying to set up the Hunter Biden thing. That seems to be.
Okay. Do you think he's going to fall for a trap? Do you really think he's going to fall for a trap? I mean, let's say for the sake of this small part of the conversation, that the Republicans have all the evidence they need, that they are in the right on this, that they have everything. Do you really think by calling the attorney general in, he's going to say, you caught me? No. Okay. And so what you wind up with then?
He's going to be Mike Lindell holding his document in front of him with all his admissions.
He's just going to hold it up and just point at it. This is the problem. It's like, we're going to get you. This is not his first day.
No.
Okay.
No.
And so if they want the posturing for the news channels or their own reelection ads of, there, I held him accountable. No, you didn't.
No, not really.
He's not going to say, why even go through it? Well, we know why they go through it. They go through it. I mean, when I said, why they bring him up, and you said, well, they want to set up. No, they just want to see themselves on television.
Yeah.
See, I held him accountable.
You're right. No, that's exactly it. It was more about their television time. But if there was a political goal there, it was the Hunter Biden thing. But at one point, the guy's talking about how he wants to persecute all Catholics, which once again, Joe Biden's a Catholic. So that was, I don't know where you're going with that. And the one guy bringing up the naked bike ride in Madison, I'm like, you guys are all over the place. I mean, it's, if you really wanted to do this, and it, by the way, I think this also shows me they themselves don't have anything really on Hunter Biden, because if they had something, they could have at least turned that into a really, you know, kind of gone micro on it and basically honed in on that. And the fact that each one of these guys was all over the place just tells me they don't have any. And this is basically, they were expecting him to admit to his plot like he's a bad Batman villain.
There's a lot of Hunter Biden stuff there. That doesn't mean that it's Joe Biden stuff. Okay, that's just number one. So I think they've got Hunter stuff, but Hunter gave them stuff. That's a different whole thing. As far, and you were right in your answer, because you're thinking, well, from governmental standpoint, we want to get him to. No, it's just nothing more than PR. Mm-hmm. And it's, what's really ridiculous about it is that it tends to backfire in the way that you're talking about. There are times, and I don't know if you have the same thing with your fine audience here, but when I'm doing a program, sometimes I'm interviewing a politician, elected official, and I will have people text or email or, you know, flaming arrow to the door of the studio, and then they say, you know, ask about this, or why don't you ask more about that?
Yes.
Well, look, when I ask the first time and they deny it, what am I supposed to do? Ask a second time, hoping I get a different answer? You know, I mean, if I get talking points the first time, they've memorized it. Let's move on to a different topic where we might actually get some light, as you know. But it's one of these things that Merrick Garland was not going to say anything other than his opening statement, which is, I'm not the president's attorney. And oh, by the way, I'm not yours either. Okay, I don't know other than sound bites for back home, creatively edited. I mean, I'm sitting here saying, government's going to shut down in 10 days. The five-year farm bill expires, some portions of it, in 10 days. You're not even meeting each one of the working days of the 10 calendar days. And this is what you thought was the most important thing to do on September 20th? And I've got senators saying, well, you know, those appropriations bills originate in the House. Those scamps over in the House. Come on.
Yeah.
Get a big enough room. Sit down. Come up with a strategy. Don't even send pizza in until you come up with the answer. I mean, when you look back, this is a little far off, but you get the point. The House took 6 weeks off for the August recess, which is now the district work period. Why was there traditionally, Matt, an August vacation away from Washington? Because Washington is a cesspool weather-wise without air conditioning in August.
Malaria and yellow fever. Seriously, malaria and yellow fever.
Right. So they said, let's go home. And it's become tradition. So there's no reason to do it now because, again, we have modern medicine and air conditioning. So when you have these people sitting at home, and I'm not saying they didn't travel the district. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Because there are state fairs to go to. God knows, I'm good with that. But when in the middle of the vacation, the 6 week off vacation, they say, well, I don't think we can get a budget passed now. We're going to need a continuing resolution. Go to work, for crying out sakes. Somebody needs either more or less coffee today. I apologize.
No, you're spot on. And we'll talk more about that in a second. I will say this, right, just to clarify what you're talking about with Garland, just before we go to break here. You're right. It wasn't about Hunter, because they do have some things that they're going after Hunter for, but they're trying to discredit Merrick by saying you're personally interceding in the Hunter Biden things, which shows you can't be trusted when it comes to investigating Joe Biden and in turn Donald Trump, which once again, they failed spectacularly at getting anything because they don't really have any connection between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden outside of, you know, they wish there was some grand conspiracy. Oh, by the way, Ivanka's got how many Chinese trademarks? Never mind. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back. Let's talk about the absolute Republican Party just devolving at this point in regards to this budget bill. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein, when we come back, more of him when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, I'm Todd Mickelson, host of a Satellite View podcast. It's hard to find clarity or focus here on the ground with the fire hose of issues and events. We go up high and look back on Earth from a satellite view, where we can gain our bearings and learn from the past to shoot for a better future. And have fun and laughs along the way. Go to am950radio.com, click the programs link, and find a Satellite View with Todd Mickelson.
When a drunk driver hit my car, the structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That's it. That's the ad. I don't think I need to add anything else, but I'll gladly mention their sales team is attentive and friendly, their service department is the best in the state, and their vehicles, you can put a lot of faith in the quality and safety of a Toyota vehicle. The structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That says it all. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Fall is here and it's the season of changes. But you know what doesn't change? The fun and excitement at the National Eagle Center in Wabasha.
pack up the family for a perfect day trip and take a drive to Wabasha to join the celebration during their Soar Fall Flight Festival happening September 23rd and 24th. They're highlighting fall migration along the Mississippi River Flyway and celebrating Native American cultures and their connections to eagles. You'll meet the live eagle ambassadors, catch an exciting program in the beautiful Riverfront Amphitheater, and enjoy a front row seat to fall migration. You can explore Native and Indigenous cultures by visiting the exhibitor booths from Effigy Mounds National Monument, Indigenous artist Inkpa Manny, and Native American craftsman Dick Mindikowski. Plus, meet live birds from the Midwest Peregrine Society. Register for an unforgettable eagle viewing trip or behind-the-scenes experience and enjoy seasonal arts and crafts for all ages. It's a fall party with the eagles, and you're invited. Get all the details online at nationaleaglecenter.org/soar and schedule your eagle fun today.
Not the Eagles, though. Not the band, right? Just the birds, right?
They could make a special appearance. I'm not going to promise anything.
That would be great. It is the Matt McNeil Show.
Part of their farewell tour again.
Farewell tour play.
Is there anyone left, sadly, for the farewell tour?
I don't know. Well, okay. No, I don't know. Timothy B. Schmidt? Is that it? Is Timothy B. Schmidt actually the only one left? Wow, he might be. Anyway, needless to say, side note, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205.
Wait a minute, this conversation getting derailed? What?
All right, wow. So Joe Biden's in the UN looking fairly presidential, standing by Ukraine. Fairly decent speech there. Love to watch the Russians squirm. That was good fun. That being said, meanwhile, over at the Capitol, are we going to see Matt Gaetz and Speaker McCarthy actually get into fisticuffs at some point? Because this really does not seem to be getting any better. And at this point, you would expect, as you were talking about, you would expect to see some smoothing out of differences on the Republican side with these budget bills. The defense budget, they've had to pull these budget votes out of the way so they can't fail. I think that this far right of the Republican Party feels that this is the hill they're going to make their last stand. And they're going to make this as painful for McCarthy as it has to be?
Well, McCarthy, again, I've never met him, never talked to him, don't know him, but it seems that he wanted to be Speaker of the House.
Oh, yeah.
Not that he had an agenda of things he wanted to do. And so that's the biggest problem, is that he has the title, but he didn't really have an agenda, still doesn't have an agenda. And because he could not articulate that well enough during the election cycle, they did not win that great a majority. It was 5 votes. There are now two vacancies in the House, 1 Democrat, 1 Republican. So now it's only a 4 vote difference. And, you know, if you remember back during the Speaker debacle in January.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to hold McCarthy back from coming out, you know, and slugging Gaetz at one point. Then he became his best, hog grabbing buddy. I'm sorry, that's just the thing today. Hog grabbing buddy when he got the last vote to come across the line so McCarthy could be Speaker. And so now Gaetz is saying, where's mine? Mm-hmm. And, you know, McCarthy made a deal with the devil to hold the gavel. And I don't blame him this week for saying, you want it? Come get it. Come take it from me. But now you've got Chip Roy saying, well, you know, if McCarthy works with the Democrats to get this CR passed, it's not going to be good for him. You know, at some point, if I'm McCarthy, I take the nameplate down, put it under my arm and walk.
Well, and really quick here, because he does have this deal already set up with Biden to basically pass a bill. I understand the far right can be, you know, screaming about this, but they've known about this. They're trying to, re-win a game after the game's over. And the reality is he could put that bill out there, I imagine, especially with Biden's help, that he'd have the votes to get it passed out of the House.
Oh, probably so. But here's the, you know, very quickly, the headline I saw today was Republicans content to be villains in the government shutdown.
Good.
Okay, if that's where you're at, holy cow.
Moose and squirrel.
You're surrendering already? Oh, I wish I'd known. I would have brought up my moose and squirrel sound effect. You've already given up? You're the villain? This is good government, boys and girls.
This is an absolute train wreck, but we saw this coming a long time ago. Jeff Stein, I'll post the Iowa Politics Report later. You can listen to this again on the weekend. Thanks, Jeff. Hour 2 is up next.
It's the start of our favorite season in Minnesota, football season. That's right, with all the hype and action this season brings, we know things can get loud and messy quick. Before you invite your friends and family over to watch the big game, you better call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res to clean up all of those fumble moments in your home. Lucky for you, you can score big this month with great savings. Right now, you can get your entire home zero-resified from Minnesota's ultimate carpet cleaner and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned starting at just $149. It's also a perfect time of year to get your air ducts cleaned this month with $100 off your air duct cleaning. An air duct cleaning will help alleviate allergies and asthma, you will enjoy less dust, lower energy bills, and your home will stay cleaner longer.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC